everybody, it's James. I wanted to let you know what this episode is. It is not a normal episode of Radio Free Nintendo. If you were on NintendoWorldReport.com, you probably already saw that. It is, however, the post-E3 wrap-up roundtable that the E3 OA team did following the closing of the show floor on day 3. The cast for this is Michael TYP Cole, Kim Keller, Jason Belmont, Aaron Kaluska, Jared Rosenberg, and David Spazzy Crane of SourceGaming.info. They are primarily going to be talking about The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I got the name right. But they'll also be touching on games they saw on the show floor that interested them, such as LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens, Sonic Boom Fire and Ice. I'm serious. Just shapes and beats and steep. If you want to see more content related to E3 2016, you can go to NintendoWorldReport.com for impressions, interviews, video, and all kinds of content right now produced by this fine team who went to the show and covered it for us. Enjoy the show.
All right, well, E3 is over. This is Michael Cole. I'm here with a few, the brave, the proud, the few Nintendo World Report staffers that came this year. Why don't we go around the quote-unquote room. We're in a little enclosure here. I wouldn't call it a room.
I'm Kimberly Keller.
I'm Jason Belmont.
And I'm Eric Kaluska.
And hopefully Jared Rosenberg will be joining us very shortly. This is going to be a little bit of a short podcast episode or however this eventually gets distributed. But I wanted to spend about 10 minutes talking about Zelda. Everyone can share some thoughts. I don't think we've really had a chance to talk about it as a group yet. And then I'd like to go around and discuss maybe a couple of other games that we've played, Nintendo system or otherwise, that we thought were really interesting. So, Zelda. So, Kim, I think you wrote the hands-on impressions or preview for us. You probably have played the most. So I thought we start with you. What's the good, the bad, the ugly? What is Zelda?
What is Zelda? I think actually when I first got it, my hands on the demo, I wasn't as impressed as I thought it was going to be, because it was really open and there wasn't a lot to do besides just exploring and running around. But when I got to the second demo with the story, that's when it really was hitting home for me. I loved when it started unfurling, when we were seeing more of the characters, what the story kind of was and where we were going with things. So kind of the mystery of that really pulled me in. And then once we also got, you know, more time with it in the Nintendo booth, it was just really fun to see how all those things were interacting. It's definitely a game you need to spend a lot of time with. Because if you just have a quick demo, you don't get a good impression. It doesn't seem like a lot's going on. You need time to, like, think, try out different things, you know, go into the different environments. There's so much variety there that it's really hard to explain in a nutshell.
I was surprised at how little it held your hand, at least the demo. Just like, go do it, go.
Yeah.
So, and if that was really the start of the game, it's like, okay, well, they can certainly go in the other direction from some of the recent Zelda games.
Yeah. And it's unforgiving. If you forget a weapon, that's it. You don't have that weapon. You have to run all the way back to get it. Like, there's no second chances.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely frustrating within the timetable of the demo, like, without the hand-holding or any instructions. But normally, that's actually something that I like. And it was nice. As soon as I started playing, I didn't have any instructions. I just ran up, hacked down a tree, got an apple, went over to a fire. Can I cook this? Does this do anything? And the fact that, like, you could do that kind of exploration was really appealing to me. Because, you know, if you're just following a path, yeah, of course you're following a path, but you miss out on, like, little tiny things like that here and there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do feel like this is, in some ways, a reaction to, I guess, how people have felt about the last few, where they'd gotten more linear. And I do feel like Classic Zelda was really about, hey, can I do this thing? Can I just try this thing? And then you'll see if it works or not. And so there was some of that, I think, coming out, even though the demo, it is a very hard game to demo because of its scope. And so, yeah, even with the fairly long demo that Nintendo had on the floor, it's still really hard to get a real good idea of what's going on there. But I guess one of the things that seemed to be coming up is not just in sort of the scope of the game and how that's changed, but also the controls.
Yeah.
And I think... part of that is because the game itself is no longer sort of on a plane. It's not two-dimensional. It's you actually go in three dimensions. You do a lot of climbing and that kind of stuff. And I think partly because of that and partly because of, I guess, the wide variety of items you can collect, it just kind of needs more complex controls.
I was going to bring this up, too. I hate saying this, but it almost doesn't feel like Nintendo controls. It almost reminded me of, like, a Batman game where, like, you have to hold down a button and then touch left and right on the right stick to be able to change your weapons. It wasn't really that intuitive, and maybe they can solve some of that with some, like, on-screen UI or something, but at the demo, I had trouble remembering, like, oh, what do I need to pull up the map again? What? And there's just things you can miss.
Yeah.
I
mean,
yeah, and some of the things, I guess, actually, you had to sort of chain buttons together to actually make it work, so, yeah, it was not quite as directly intuitive.
Well, there's definitely stuff in the footage, like, when you watch the opening reel that they show, like a bomb arrows. Was anyone able to do a bomb arrow? I don't know if it was part of the demo or not.
Hidden somewhere deep. We didn't
find it. I picked up bombs and then dropped them on myself pretty promptly. Yeah. But yeah, the bomb arrows were beyond my ability at the time.
I mean, I do like that it is such a change that you kind of have to relearn how you're playing it, because it always makes me think of, I believe it was Miyamoto was saying when he made the original Zelda game, he wanted it to be so open-ended. He wanted to really encourage exploration. We're getting back there. And with the controls being so different and, you know, things being hidden and not spelled out with you, it also reminds me of when he said, I guess when they were testing the original Legend of Zelda, they had everybody started with a sword. And as we all know now, you classically do not start with a sword. And he actually took that away because he found out, you know, people weren't understanding the game. But he wanted to confuse them even more. He wanted to encourage gamers to talk amongst each other, because he always wanted that socialization aspect of helping your friends. And I think, especially when we all got to play the game together in the Nintendo booth, that's that really came through. We were all shouting at each other, grab this, go there, try this, and it brought back that socialization and that group fun.
You're right. That was really surprising, Hank, that we were you know, three or four of us up there, and, you know, it's like, well, you know, use an arrow over here. No, you got to arc it further up, or go over there. There was, you know, a wall that looks like you could bomb.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, there was a lot of interaction. You're right. It's definitely almost like a WarioWare, like the Wii game for WarioWare. It almost has that kind of vibe when you're all collaborating.
I mean, that's when it really opened up for me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
And the other piece about the overall that struck me was that there was some puzzle solving as part of the overall. I'll be curious to see how much of that there was, because certainly the classic top-down Zelda, there are these screens where there's little mini, you know, it's almost a mini dungeon, right?
Yeah.
And there was at least a little of that where there was like a steel plate that we had to move, but there was another one kind of off to the side that we didn't see.
So we
killed ourselves a couple of times before we solved that one. But it'd be cool if they can actually bring some, because I felt like the 3D Zeldas never really did that. The dungeons, they did it really well, but
yeah.
You're never really able to do that.
You really got to look around you before you start something, because if it seems impossible, you're probably not seeing something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, I do worry a little bit. Granted, this was just the very sort of start of the game. Just how, like, sort of few things there are, just overall. And I'm assuming there'll be more populated areas later on, but it's hard to say because the whole beginning is very mysterious, and I don't know if anybody really has any idea what the story is at this point.
That's something that I think they maybe did on purpose, because if you're one of, like, the five people in the world who hasn't played a Zelda game yet, it's accessible and you don't have to know a ton. And then obviously for the people that are, like, chomping at the bit for this game and are going to jump right in, you can probably get to those areas relatively quickly, and then you'll develop and you'll run into areas that have more stuff.
Yeah, I have heard online criticisms of the game seems kind of sparse. I didn't feel like it was sparse. I mean, I had fun exploring around it. You know, I would go up funny ways, right? Spend a lot of time climbing up. And one of the they have shrines in the demo, only a few in the shrines, but you have to find them. And I went to the same shrine in a different way than Aaron did. And I went up a cliff, and then you kind of came from above where it was the Snow Peak Mountains, and your way was a lot easier than my way. I was about to say.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the scope of the map, you really do have to use the map to figure out where the heck you're even going. And it did remind me a lot of sort of the original Legend of Zelda, where people would trade around the Nintendo Power maps to like figure out where everything was, and I feel like we were capturing a lot of that when we were playing together as well.
So let's talk about the shrines a little bit. Those are kind of like their versions of the dungeons, at least for this demo. It sounds like in the full game they're more like the equivalent of when you bomb a side on a cliff or whatever. It's like a little mini area. It sounds like it's the equivalent. It's in what, like 100?
Yeah,
you're
supposed to have
100
scattered throughout the game. Did anyone have a favorite that they played?
I don't know if I had a favorite because they were all pretty short. But I did think that the sort of powers that you gain from each one of them were really interesting. And so I could imagine them doing some pretty interesting things there. What did we see? We saw a magnetic power.
Yeah.
What else? The stasis, time stopping, and then a freezing power, and I guess sort of classic elemental types of powers. But really, what they did with those was come up with a lot of sort of interesting puzzles. I guess actually maybe the ice one was pretty interesting in how you could use ice in different ways. You could just create a platform so you could actually get across some water, or you could actually use it to raise up a gate so you could get by. I mean, there's really a lot of figuring out how to get around obstacles in this demo, but I guess, yeah.
I suspect in the full game those are, things you get in the main dungeon.
Right.
But the other one I thought was interesting was the time-stopping one, where you could, stop a boulder while it was at the right time and then run around it.
I love the graphics with all the chains.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
That sucker stopped.
Yeah.
I think just how easy it was, that's a perfect way for it teaching us how to use those powers. It was short, simple, but by the end, you had a good handle on what you could and could not do with them.
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see how they integrate it in the full game.
Yeah,
how spread out those powers are, because it felt like you got them right away in this demo. It's like, really?
Yeah, unless they had 100 of them, which I doubt. I'm pretty sure those are just representative to get us to try some stuff.
And there's definitely ways they can keep us from going too far into like a temple where it's way too difficult to get to, because maybe getting to the temple, you'll need a power that you have to go to an easier temple first. So there probably will be a sense of it's getting harder, more challenging as you move on.
Yeah, that's actually something I'm really interested to see, is if they have sort of multiple levels of each dungeon once you have certain powers that you have to go back to actually get deeper into it or not. Kind of a Metroid-esque mechanic there, but it'd be interesting.
Did anyone else have problems with the combat in general? I mean, I feel like I didn't play enough of it to get a sense of whether I like the combat or not. It certainly feels different. Without the ability to jump side to side, really threw me off originally. But it's hard for me to tell if it's just getting used to new controls and how much of it doesn't work. It's not quite polished yet. Did anyone else think that they felt good or bad, or am I kind of an outlier here?
Because there is now a dedicated jump button, I did keep getting confused using the other button, which normally would be jump to move sideways. But you could still do the Wind Waker dodges, or I guess many Zeldas. But once you got the dodge working, and then it would go into slow motion, and then you could do the flurry attack. Okay. I did feel it felt pretty cool.
So probably the problem is that I keep forgetting to push X to jump. And so I missed a lot of the activities there. So
I made the same mistake.
Hopefully there's some remapping options in the final game, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah, but I mean, the parry mechanic, which I think Wind Waker sort of introduced that, it seems pretty key in this game. But I'm also wondering if you learn other moves as the game goes on, because in this demo, you couldn't roll, and that's a pretty big change.
But they have the dash, or the sprint mechanism too, so I'm wondering if that's kind of replaced the roll.
Yeah.
But you had exploring.
In Skyward Sword, you had sprint and rolling.
Oh, really?
You can't have both.
I blocked that game out of my memory, I'm sorry. we talk a lot about Zelda. Let's discuss some of the other games maybe we played one each. It doesn't have to be on a Nintendo platform, if it's something you think that was interesting, because there's not that much on third-party support, and some of the things are probably pretty known quantities. So, Kim, was there anything else you played?
Back to me, I'm thinking.
Oh, okay. Jason?
I actually went over and played the latest LEGO Star Wars installation for The Force Awakens. Pretty standard stuff, but it was still just a fun play. I personally always enjoy the LEGO games. They did a good job of involving all the sort of the new characters from the movies. Because even like, you know, with other LEGO Star Wars specifically and just other LEGO games, they tend to draw from characters and media that we're all familiar with. But all these characters are still relatively new, so it was nice to see how LEGO attributes like different powers and abilities to each of them, and how they're sort of retelling this new story, which is The Force Awakens, that, you know, we're still, it's not part of our history yet, it's still kind of recent. But they definitely LEGO-ified it in a very fun, playable kind of way.
That was that playable on Wii U on the floor, or was it you playing the PS4 version of that?
I was using an Xbox controller at the time.
Okay, so maybe PC, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Jared, is there anything that jumped out at you?
I played Sonic Boom Fire and Ice, which, it was, you know, I don't know if pleasantly surprised is the right words, but maybe it is, but I thought the... You know, I thought it was the one platforming level was fun. It controls a lot. If you've played the previous Sonic Boom game on 3DS, Shattered Crystal, it was similar to that, similar controls. But there was a lot of just running around. They have a swing mechanic, which is sort of fun. A couple like hidden areas. You also have like a fire ice mechanic, so switch to fire when you want to go through an ice wall, switch to fire when you got to melt something, you know, basic but sort of cool. I don't know, I was happy with it.
I mean, I played it too. I felt like compared to the E3 demo for the previous game,
yeah,
it ran a lot more smoothly and it seemed like it was more well crafted. I still feel like the pacing of the game just doesn't feel like a Sonic game. The boss was pretty cool though. I thought the boss was neat. You basically were switching between Amy and Sonic. So I think it's going to be better than the other game came out, but I can't say I'm excited for it. It's not really a Sonic game.
It's not classic Sonic,
no.
But it seems like a decent one.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
potentially.
What was your word for it?
Lumbering. I think I was lumbering around a little bit.
He's not fast enough.
Yeah, Sonic, because even when you push like the dash button, it's like, okay, I guess he's going at a decent rate.
He wants to move fast and he wasn't.
Yeah. Aaron?
Well, I guess I'm hoping this game comes to Wii U, or I guess maybe NX at this point, but I'm always a big fan of a lot of the games they have over at IndieCade, and so one we all played earlier today was called Just Shapes and Beats, and it's an interesting sort of a rhythm game, but not really. It's a avoidance game, I guess, and you have these sort of pink projectiles and beams and things that are flying around the screen all to the beat of the music, and you basically just have to avoid them, and you can blast through them. I think there's only one button you can use besides moving around, and if you are in this sort of fast moving mode, then you won't get hit, but the screen, you know, is kind of like a bullet hell. It's very hard to avoid things. And yeah, everybody was dying a lot. But yeah, it has some sort of quasi-famous chiptune artists in it, as well as, I guess, they've actually licensed Mortal Kombat the movie, the music. So that was really interesting. I think, though, the big sort of question is whether or not it'll actually come to a Nintendo system. I think last year when I talked to the dev, it was going to, and now it's more about just like, okay, how can we afford this before anything? So, yeah, fingers crossed it'll eventually come out, but it sounds like probably Steam and PS4 first.
Yeah, it looks like he was looking for money at.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens there. I guess the game I wanted to share was also non-Nintendo. Jared and I both played the Ubisoft snowboarding game. It's more than just snowboarding. It's snow sports. And the start of the demo, it's like all platforms except Wii U, basically. And we asked if they were interested in NX. They seemed open to it. They seemed to think, yeah, you know, this would be a good fit for Nintendo platforms or fans of 1080. Another person on the team mentioned, you know, that Sean White game.
Yeah, they're former Sean White devs.
So they're certainly open to it. They don't know anything about NX, so they couldn't really speak to it. But you start off in the demo, at least. It's kind of like a squirrel suit.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so you jump off, and then you can. There's a track they recommend that you follow, but if you want, you can just go wherever you want, and then you know use your parachute to land.
They would award you if you flew closer to the ground. You got more points.
Okay, I didn't notice that there was a scoring system for that. But then beyond that, there's different runs you could spawn to, and you can use a snowboard or skis. And again, you could do these races or do trick parks, which are pretty cool. Or you could just go exploring, which is what I really liked. I think it did a really good job of capturing the kind of the sense of exploration when you're actually skiing on a mountain you've never been on before. Because there's just sort of an exploration aspect to it that's really cool. You can just veer off and go wherever you want, and that really excites me. I'm hoping there's I hope we have more than one mountain and that kind of stuff, because it's that was a lot of fun, just going off the beaten path. I didn't really get the hang of the tricks, but Jared, you seem to be doing some pretty good tricks by the end. So.
Yeah, it was the trick system actually was sort of like 1080 and things, but normal kind of thing. There's a ramp, you do a jump, and then like use the right analog stick, and you can do like twirls and what's it called when you like grab your board? I forget what that's called.
Stiffy? I don't know.
I
don't know.
Your regular.
Let's edit that out.
But the trick systems seem fun, and then they have like silver, bronze, gold medals that you can earn if you do better tricks and you verse the people who are near you. So.
Okay. I think we should probably just keep it nice and short. Is there anyone who has final thoughts on the show overall? Sure, I didn't introduce you at the start. Yeah. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, David. Sometimes I go by Stazzy. I'm the article lead over at Source Gaming. I'd like to thank all of you wonderful Nintendo World Report people for being wonderful and helping us out here. This is our first time at E3. E3 was a blast. A lot of standing in line.
A lot, especially if you wanted to play Zelda.
Yeah, Zelda was a trip. And you know what's funny is Nintendo with just one game. They only brought one game, but it's the only game that anyone really wanted to see.
I can't believe they just pulled it off like that.
Yeah, right?
Everyone was so apprehensive going into it, and then afterwards you're like, oh, damn it, it worked.
There was actually a ton of stuff that may not have been, especially you're talking about a lot of the indie games, things like that, were still coming to Nintendo consoles. So, I mean, there's stuff that, even if you're just purely a Nintendo fan, I went and I saw Bloodstained.
Oh, yeah. It's another one. Yeah.
Right. Fantastic. I played the Xbox version, but I'm assuming it's going to be pretty standard on the Wii U.
We hope so, although it's different. Isn't it a different team? Isn't Arbiter someone that's porting?
Oh, I think you might be right. Yeah.
So we'll see. But you're right. I mean, that was like a sequel to the DS Castlevania
games.
It was good. Yeah,
and I would actually put it on a different level from the DS Castlevania games, because I felt, since Symphony of the Night was kind of just retreading that story, and this one it feels like those classic Metroidvania, Castlevania games. You have everything down to when you pick up an item, the way the text box appears, and this music and the environment, but it still feels fresh because it had to be created from the ground up. So that was incredible. But yeah, there's a lot to see here. It would have been nice to see, I'm sure y'all would agree, a much stronger Nintendo presence, but it is what it is. We'll see where they go from here.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you everyone for listening to us. I know there's a lot of coverage from the home team as well, so hopefully you guys have been listening to all that good stuff. We got more interviews probably coming up after this goes up. So please keep checking the website, follow us on YouTube and all that good stuff. And with that, goodbye, everyone.
See ya.
Bye. Good day.